Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Monday, November 3rd. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. A California man is walking hundreds of miles through the state to raise awareness for victims of wildfires.
I am walking from where the ruins of my house used to be in Altadena all the way up to Paradise.
We catch up with him on one of his rest breaks in the valley. We'll have that conversation coming up in just a moment.
Support for Central Valley Daily comes from the members of KVPR. Join at $8 or more per month and access ad-free NPR podcasts through NPR Plus. Give now at kvpr.org/donate.
And now to our feature story. If you're in Merced today, there is a chance you'll see a guy walking through town with a large backpack, a couple of big water jugs, and wearing a t-shirt that says Altadena Strong. His name is Dimitri Comperos, and he's on a 700-mile journey on foot. He's walking 700 miles from Altadena in Southern California to Paradise in Northern California. More specifically, his journey started where his family home of 30 years used to be. It burned down in the Eaton Fire earlier this year. It's a story that is sadly becoming more and more relatable for Californians. That's why Dimitri chose to walk to a community that was also hard hit by fire like his. 7 years ago, the town of Paradise was virtually burned off the map from the 2018 Camp Fire. That community is still rebuilding, and it could be more than a decade before a semblance of home returns. But the wounds are still fresh for Dimitri and his community. And the goal of this long walk across California is to raise money for fire victims who are now his own neighbors. The funds will be donated to the Eaton Fire Collaborative. That's a group of more than 100 nonprofits supporting recovery efforts in the Southern California community. Dimitri has already raised thousands of dollars and received a lot of support along the way, from a complimentary hotel room in Fresno to a dairy farmer in Tipton who invited him to a community event. Dimitri is walking 15 miles a day on average, and I caught up with him on a rest day in Fresno.
My name is Dimitri Comperos. I studied school psychology. In with all the devastation of the fires and the sort of turmoil mentally that comes with that, I become a substitute teacher for this year, and that's been really great in terms of still making money while perhaps, you know, sort of letting the trauma of things subside over time. And it was actually while being a substitute teacher that I encountered a story that really resonated with me and inspired this particular journey. Back in 1999, an older woman named Doris Haddock, her nickname was Granny D, she was so against the campaign finance laws that were happening at the time that she embarked on a trek from the Rose Bowl in Pasadena all the way to Washington, D.C. She was in her 90s. She was a very old lady. It took her over a year to do. But we put on this documentary in this, you know, high school history classroom that I watched. And I thought to myself, wow, that is so incredible. If this little old lady can do something like that, surely I could do something. I had really been wrestling with the idea for quite a while of doing something. You know, you feel so powerless in so many ways when this devastation happens. And I'm just a normal person. But, you know, the idea of doing something to sort of put Altadena back on the map and maybe bridge the gap between us and Paradise, who's still recovering, and all the other fire areas throughout the state was something that just sort of came together upon watching that documentary.
And you have a lot of gear on that I want you to talk about, so you can take it off in a second. But first, could you tell us what happened to you, why you've been affected by the fires?
So, you know, it's a really bizarre feeling. We knew that there was going to be massive winds. That was something that was talked about in advance. And even our school district had, you know, given warnings and things. The winds ended up being even worse. They were 100 miles per hour by some reports. Old trees were collapsing in the streets. Even before the fires were happening, it felt kind of eerie and strange. And, you know, throughout the day, you come home, your power is shut off. So you just kind of got your darkness and you're hearing about the Palisades, which is a totally different area to the west of us. And then you get reports from your neighbor saying, hey, there's a fire near us. You should start thinking about packing your bags and going. it felt so dreamlike and surreal. I actually kind of logged a little bit of that experience, just thinking to myself, you know, this is such an interesting feeling that I have right now, not even knowing at the time that that would be the last time I would be in my family home. I mean, really crazy stuff to go from 0 to 100. You know, you leave a house, you grab photo albums and things that are irreplaceable, and then next thing you know, it's up in flames. It's very bizarre.
And your family home was in Altadena.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, so what's the current status of your family home or your childhood home, right?
That's correct, yeah, thank you. So some aspects were faster than others. I kind of in my head have expected a very, very slow bureaucracy, and in some ways that's true, but in some ways it's been faster than expected. We were able to get the house demolished, right? The sort of the ruins of things have been cleared out, the debris has been removed. And so if you were to visit it now, you would just see a lot of dirt and maybe some new plants that have been growing in the meantime. It's really just my folks, though. They're the ones who are close to retiring, my mother and father. They've had a lot of discourse over what to do. My father is kind of mentally exhausted. There's a lot of trauma, seeing things constantly. You know, you don't really get a reprieve, right? Like, even though it's been 9 to 10 months, you know, you're constantly reminded of it, and it can be very mentally taxing. And for him, who's close to retirement age, he's like, I would rather just go somewhere else. But my mother has very strong community roots, a lot of solidarity. If you were to visit Altadena, you'd see a lot of signs that say not for sale. She is absolutely one of those champions. And so she wants to rebuild and stay. The compromise that they've reached is they're going to rebuild the house and then decide, right? It wouldn't make sense to sell land just on its own. It would make more sense financially to build and then sell. But I have a feeling that they're gonna stay.
Not to belabor this, but I want listeners to understand. So your family home was burned to the ground, basically.
Absolutely, yeah.
What happened to your neighborhood? Like, what was that like?
Again, it almost feels like a war zone. You know, it feels like something out of a movie, because the sheer amount of vegetation that's just dried up and burnt to the ground, the houses that were dried up, burnt to the ground. I mean, I talked about the debris getting removed. It's like you think of all the random bits of metal in a house, right? The nails and screws and things that are holding things together. It's just this like mess of pointy, jagged objects. You know, within weeks of the fire, wanted to go and see if we could find anything that was worth salvaging. You know, you're putting on these hazmat suits and you're wearing protective gear on your feet because, yeah, these sharp and jagged things are everywhere. And again, it feels like, you know, something out of a movie. You know, you're like an astronaut walking on this foreign planet that you kind of recognize, you kind of don't. And the things that we salvage, they're like, you know, little ceramic bunnies from Easter. I mean, they're kind of marginal in some ways, but they're also, there's a strange catharsis when you find them too, right? Even little things, it's like, oh, the Easter bunny, we're so glad, right? Like little bits and pieces just bring so much joy in the wake of devastation, yeah.
I mean, that must have been a very bizarre experience to return and see things so differently. And I'm really sorry for your family. You have this great shirt on that says Altadena Strong Firewalk. So tell us what brought you to Fresno and what you're doing right now.
Yeah, so I am walking from where the ruins of my house used to be in Altadena all the way up to Paradise. Paradise, of course, celebrating their 7-year anniversary since their own devastating campfire. And for me, this is really a journey of connection throughout California. I feel like even though we're one big connected state, in some ways, you know, they can feel, I mean, they're literally miles apart, but they can feel like there's this great distance, or it can feel like people are, you know, so far removed from your own world that you don't even think about them. And that's really not the case at all. Even in the process of moving from Altadena to Paradise, of which I still have 3 to 4 more weeks to go, it's a slow process. I've gotten such a great response from people in Paradise and from even just random strangers as I'm kind of going on my journey. I'm very conspicuous. I've got this big old bag, this big old shirt. I have 3 of the exact same shirts. I'm always, you know, repping my city. And, you know, these little moments you get when strangers stop you and ask, how are you, or what's going on, or whatever, and you share a little bit of it, and they just hop right on Facebook and type out a message and tag their friend. You know, it's such a wonderful thing. And so really at the end of the day, even though I am one person doing it, and it is just me, you know, I am the only person doing something ridiculous like this. I don't feel that way at all, because there is like a greater community, whether they're donating, whether they're sharing the message, spreading it, whether they're just saying hello. You know, there's really a feeling of communication and connection that's just incredible.
So how many miles have you walked from Altadena to Fresno?
So if you were to look at the map right now, the number would be ridiculous, like 260. And, you know, I actually did kind of a roundabout route to avoid some areas that I felt were more dangerous than others. I didn't want to walk on the 5. I took a lot of side streets and angles that were a lot more helpful in that way. And to be clear, there has been a degree of hitchhiking. There are people who have pulled over and said, hey, would you like a little bit of a ride? I'm like, absolutely. You know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes here and there. And, you know, for me, this is not like a Guinness Book of World Record. I'm not setting out some goal. So it's not like, you know, every single minute of it has to be, you know, just me, only me. In fact, I really welcome people to be a part of the story, because at the end of the day, it is about community and sort of tying together this great big state of ours, which is really quite massive and substantial. So,
which I'm sure you can particularly appreciate after walking so much. And you're also bringing attention to these fires and the people affected by them, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I spoke with the mayor of Paradise just yesterday, and he's telling me to be fully finished with rebuilding will take 20 years, you know, and it's been 7 years since their own fires, right? Like, he gets called up when other parts of the world get affected by fires to be asked advice, you know, and he's like, well, I've got a lot of advice. I've learned a lot, but it's still going, you know, it's to be fully done with everything that we set out to do to have a safer tomorrow takes a really long time. And so it really is a marathon and not a sprint. And for people like us in Altadena, who, again, has not even been one full year yet, you know, we've got a long way to go. And so a large part of this is like the pragmatism of saying, hey, like, this is realistically what it will look like, but also, you know, idealistically too, like, what are the steps we can look forward to? You know, what are the things that we can be really excited about as they happen?
So once you reach Paradise, what's your plan? And then how are you getting home?
So I'm not walking back. I've had a lot of people ask me that, and I always get a good laugh out of that. I've got a great friend who's a filmmaker who's offered to help me do a bit of extra filming in Paradise and then also drive me back afterward, which I'm just so thrilled and grateful for. I really plan on meeting with a lot of people in Paradise, right? As I said earlier, I've spoken with the mayor. There have been lots of community-led groups run by moms and other, you know, wonderful groups of people who really do a lot in terms of rebuilding Paradise and sort of like having a social media presence to remind people of them. They've all been great. They've all reached out. And so really, when I'm there in Paradise, I want to be talking to as many people as I can, right? You know, what has the road to recovery looked like so far? 7 years have passed. And then knowing that there's still so much more to go, you know, what are you looking forward to, right? What are the hiccups that you faced, you know, on a bureaucratic level? You know, what are the small victories that feel amazing? You know, I want to know all of it, and I want to share it with the people of Altadena who really feel a lot of anxiety about wondering, you know, what will these next steps look like?
That was my conversation with Dimitri Camperos. His childhood home burned down in the Eaton fire, and he's walking to Paradise to raise money for fire victims in his community. You can keep track of Dimitri's progress by going to GoFundMe and searching Firewalk 700 Miles. And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. You can find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.